Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Did you catch that amazing verse, Luke 2, verse 40? And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Of course, this text describes the growth of the baby, little boy, Jesus. It's all we have for 12 years of his life, from birth to the special event that we'll touch on in a moment when he was 12 years old. So to understand this period, we have to examine and cling to every word in this text. Boys and girls, what's it mean to grow? You get new shoes, you get new clothes, you get taller, yeah. Little Eden has already doubled her birth weight in just a few weeks. She's growing faster than you are, I dare say, right now. But you're still growing. And Jesus grew too. He not only grew physically, but he grew in many other ways. Part of the reason he grew physically is because he was given a good diet, given a good environment. I suppose he ate his spinach. Didn't eat too much ice cream. We don't know those things, do we? But he became strong. That means he was probably active and liked to be outside and run and play and exercise. And the text also says that he became filled with wisdom. What is wisdom? What's it mean to be wise? It means to have knowledge, but it also means to know how to use that knowledge. Christopher, did you want to say something? To think, yeah. To be wise is to think and not do things without thinking. Very good. So Jesus grew in wisdom. He had to learn just the way that you learn. How do you suppose he learned all those things so that the Bible could describe him as being wise? He didn't go to school. He was homeschooled. His mother taught him. I'll bet he liked to listen to his mother tell stories. Don't you? Do you like stories? And stories are a really good way to learn when you're little. What if we had a story right now? Maybe we could have a story about another Bible baby, huh? Maybe baby Moses? Anybody like that story? Well, baby Moses, he was born at a difficult time too, because there was an order that all baby boys, and Moses was a boy, were to be thrown in the river Nile. Now, crocodiles lived in the river Nile. So it wouldn't be very nice to be thrown in a river where there are crocodiles that were hungry, would it? And besides, little babies don't know how to swim, so that was the end if you threw them in the river. And Moses had an older brother and older sister, and his parents didn't want baby Moses to have to go in the river. And there were soldiers commissioned to go up and down the streets and door to door listening to find any baby boys. And if they found any, they were to throw them in the river. So what do you suppose Miriam and Aaron had to do? Try to keep baby Moses from crying. Now, it's pretty easy when the baby's little tiny, because they can't cry very loud anyway. So you put a towel over their face or something if they cry, and you quick get them something to eat, something to put in their mouth so they can't cry. And I'm sure that they knew it was very important that the soldiers outside not hear baby Moses, so they were very faithful. But there came a time when baby Moses got big, and he could cry loud. Ooh, what are we going to do? We can't keep him from crying all the time. Most of the time we can, but once in a while he's going to cry loud. What are we going to do? Mother came up with a plan. They said the babies have to be put in the river. So why don't we put our baby in the river, but we won't let the crocodiles get him and we won't let him drown. We'll make a boat for him. So Mother went down to the river and she gathered up some plants that she could use to make a boat. I bet Miriam and Aaron helped her make that little baby boat just big enough for baby Moses to fit in. And when they got it all done, they tested it, and it seemed to work pretty good. They let baby Moses take a nap in his boat before, right there in the house, to see if he would be comfortable. And he was. He slept good in the little boat. They got him up after his nap, and they gave him something to eat. Got his tummy all full so he would be happy. And then they put him in the boat. And this time, they didn't let him take a nap at home. They snuck him down to the river. And there were plants and weeds and reeds growing along the river. And they hid that little boat in amongst those reeds. And at this point, Miriam, his older sister, got a very, very important task to do. She was chosen to stay by the river and watch over baby Moses. I wonder how come Moses' father or his mother didn't do that. Do you suppose if the soldiers had found the baby and found their mother or father, that they both would have been killed? But the idea was, I think, that Miriam's just a little girl. She can be there, she can watch, and no one will be suspicious. And if they do find the baby, they won't do anything to Miriam. But God had a plan for Moses. God didn't let the soldiers find Moses. He let somebody very special find Moses. And that was the princess. And apparently this princess liked little babies. Maybe she didn't have a baby of her own because she wanted baby Moses to go with her. Well, that was a little bit of a problem, wasn't it? That would mean that baby Moses wouldn't be able to be at home. Better than being eaten by the crocodiles, but Miriam had a plan. She went to the princess after the princess was exclaiming at how beautiful this baby was, and figuring out, well, where did this baby come from, and how come it's down here? And she figured out right away that it was a little Hebrew baby that was under the command to be thrown in the river, and some mother had protected that baby by putting the baby in the river, but in a boat. And so Miriam said, you know, if you want me to, I could find somebody that could take care of the baby for you and nurse him, feed him. Oh, could you do that? Said the princess. And that's what Miriam did. And who did she find to take care of the baby? Who was it? The baby's mother, Miriam's mother. And so the baby was able to come home. And now, because they were working for the princess, if Moses cried, it didn't really matter because they had a special exemption to take care of the princess's baby. Not just for a little while, but for several years they took care of baby Moses. And eventually, the boy Moses and the man Moses became a very important messenger of God. Well, I'm sure that was one of the stories that Jesus loved. And he learned by those stories, but he also learned by reading the Bible. And I'll bet Joseph read the Bible to him. I think they had probably a complete set of the Old Testament scrolls. You see, Joseph was in the royal lineage. If there had been a king of Israel at that time, Joseph probably would have been the king. And there were things that were handed down from generation to generation in the hope that eventually there might be a king. And Joseph, being in that royal line, he had access to things that a poor family probably wouldn't have. So Jesus could hear the scriptures read, and when he learned to read, which he learned, he could read them for himself. But Jesus learned in other ways too. He liked to watch things. He liked to watch the bugs, the birds, and the bees, and the fish, and the animals. He even liked to watch people and figure out what made them tick. How come they did the things they did? What were they interested in? How did they live? He studied. As he grew older, he was very dedicated in his study. But do you suppose it was always easy for baby Jesus? No, I don't think it was. It's not always easy to be a good boy or a good girl, is it? What happens when you're trying to be good and you're playing with kids that don't care about being good? They sometimes sort of push you away, don't they? If you won't play the games they want to play because they aren't good games, you get excluded. Sometimes they make fun of you. They made fun of Jesus, sadly. And the other children were sometimes very cruel. But Jesus was always kind in return. But he was different. He wouldn't get involved with their pranks or their tricks or their bad jokes. And when they were playing those kind of games, he spent time by himself. Out in the fields, the forest, along the Sea of Galilee, but also sometimes with people. He was always learning. He was always friendly. And he tried to be happy. Jesus as a child was very much like our children and as we were when we were small. He looked forward to things. Do you ever look forward to things? How about vacations? You look forward to vacations and trips? Something different, right? Well, Jesus knew that every year his father made a trip, sometimes several times a year, to Jerusalem, and he never got to go. And he said, when can I go to Jerusalem with you? Well, not until you're 12 years old. So Jesus looked forward to being 12 years old and being able to go to Jerusalem. And when he got to be 12, not only Joseph went, but also his mother, Mary. And their family went, and lots of people from Nazareth went along. It was a long ways to Jerusalem. They had to walk or ride donkeys, and it took several days. And Jesus didn't remember when he was in Jerusalem, when he was dedicated, so it was all new. And they went through towns, and they went through places where important things had happened in the history of the nation. And the stories were told, and they sang songs about the wonderful events and the way God had led in the past. It was exciting. And it was very special to Jesus. And when they got to Jerusalem, it was different than he had expected. It was more wonderful than he expected. And the temple was so awesome. And the things going on there were so interesting. And in the days that he was in Jerusalem, a whole bunch of things came together that he'd been learning about from the Bible and from the stories that he'd heard. And all of a sudden, he saw for the first time what his work was going to be, what his mission was going to be in life, and what was going to happen to him in the future. It was very important. Yes, it was very important what God wanted him to do. Was he proud because God had asked him to do this? No. Was he awed? Yes. Was he humble? Yes. Was he afraid? No. Because he had learned to trust his Heavenly Father. Each of you can be like Jesus. And I wonder, have you thought of a way that you could be like Jesus as we've talked about the boy Jesus today? Anyone have an idea on what you might do as a child to be like Jesus? What? Be obedient, yes. Jesus was obedient. Caitlin? Be kind, yes. Christopher? What? Be true, yes. Caitlin? Be respectful? Yes, certainly. I think you're going through a list, aren't you? That's a good list, though. Yes, the adventure law. Thank you. You know what? you're preparing for something too. God has something big that he wants you to do. He had something he especially wanted Jesus to do, but he has something special he wants each of us to do. And as you grow up, you can learn, like Jesus did, what that special thing is. The very special thing God has just picked out for you to do. It may not come all at once, but piece by piece, a little bit of the picture here, a little bit there, you will see how God has planned a beautiful and a wonderful life for you, because he loves you and he wants to bless you the same way he blessed those children that came and sat on his lap when he was an adult. God bless you, each one.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.